Nine winds of life, and as we continue our voyage, and you might be thinking, when are we ever going to be through with this time of transition? It's coming, be patient, but here we are, we're still in the midst of transition, we're on our voyage, and one of the things that I think is most significant, if you've ever been on a cruise, have you ever been on a Disney cruise? Versus you have, okay, so, or maybe a regular cruise. The difference in the Disney cruise, it's full of what? Children, right? That's right. And it's an exciting place to be. And you can hear the children and the laughter. And if you listen real close, you can hear the sound of the wind in the church when you get around children's church or it's up there in the children's wing and you get close, you can hear children. What do you hear? Laughing. Singing, right? There's something about the sound of children that brings life and excitement and encouragement. And I'll tell you, you have never lived until you've gotten a group hug from a bunch of kids in a group, right? Amen? I was at Diana's classroom once at the school. She's a school teacher. And she knelt down and those kids, whoop, they were on her. And I thought, wow. It was just a precious time to receive from the kids. And I have noticed something as we've traveled in the church world that we see a lot of churches. And churches that are vibrant, churches that are growing, churches that are powerful, they have two elements that are always present. Children and youth. If you don't have children and youth, then the church is not the exciting place I think God wants it to be. And so I want to encourage you this morning, we've set this service apart to reflect on this important area of ministry. And we're going to bring the children back in at the end for a time of blessing. But today, we want to focus on the youngest among us, and that's our children. So often in church community, children's ministry is out of sight, out of mind. Is that right? We don't see it. It's up there, right? Everybody says it's up there. Where's there? If you've never been up the steps, maybe you're not aware of it. But children's ministry is all around us, and some people kind of like it out of sight, out of mind. Is that right? Yeah, keep the children away. You know, we don't want the children around. Well, Jesus had a different attitude about children. And when he encountered children, significant things happened, and he often brought them to center stage. Beth and I have been meeting over the last couple months talking about children's ministry at Faith Community. What is our emphasis? What is our purpose? What is our filter? And we have concluded in our heart there's a simple, simple filter, a test for our ministry, and that is our desire is to connect with children on a personal, spiritual level with every child. That's the test of our ministry. And this morning, we're going to ask somebody to help us out here. We have a gift to give you from our children. The children are gone, so baby, I'm going to ask you to help out here. Would you help me, sweetheart? Abby? Yeah. There you go. You take one side. Connie's going to take the other. And you're being given this morning a packet of seeds. And we even sang about it with the kids' worship. Wasn't that fun? We sang about the seed and it being planted. And this morning, you're being given a seed for a purpose. And when you leave the auditorium today, in the back, you're going to receive a little pot with soil in it that the children have prepared for you and our children's staff. And you're to take that home with you. And we want you to plant the seed that you have in your little packet in that pot and water it. Put it in a place where it's going to get some sunlight. And I guarantee you that they're going to grow. They're going to grow. And as they grow, and you look at that plant as it begins to mature and begins to express itself, you know, because here's the reality, we're not telling you what kind of seed you got. You don't know. And you won't know until you plant it, all right? You're not going to know what kind of seed it is till you plant it. Amen? You know what kind of seed it is? They're small seeds, that's right. They're little seeds, just like our children. And so when we plant them, we're going to be ministering this morning on watering the youngest among us and unlocking the potential of the seed. And as you watch that seed grow at home, I want you to remember the message you've heard here today. And I want you to pray for our children like you've never prayed for them before. The reason we don't know what the seed is the same way in the natural. When we're working with these children, how many of you have ever worked with children have been surprised later to meet them in life and go, whoa, I would have never expected that, right? In fact, I was talking with Diana today, and she's been teaching for 30-something years. So it's not uncommon for her to be at Walmart and have some adult come up to her and go, "You were my teacher." And for her to go, "Oh, yeah, I remember you," right? And so you never know what these seeds represent. And we're talking about the potential of the seed today, because some of these seeds that are among us, these little seedlings that we see all around, it's possible that some of these seeds someday may grow into doctors. They may become ministers or missionaries. We might even have some future astronauts among us. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Or scientists, or maybe statesmen are here in our midst. We don't know. And sometimes you look at a seed and you go, "Well, that's a little seed. That's not going to amount to much." But until you plant it, until you water it, you never know what's going to come forth. You know my testimony. I was in a reform school as a kid. People wrote me off a long time ago. But there were others who watered and planted into my life who saw the potential of the seed. My mom prayed. She said the more she prayed, the worse things got. She was just praying I would survive. But she kept faithfully watering that seed, in because, man, there was nothing in the natural that would even suggest that something great was going to happen. So I want to encourage you today, and we're going to look at five quick things that you need to know if you're going to help us plant the seed and water the youngest among us. If you're going to be part of unleashing this incredible potential that's in our midst, there's some things you're going to need to know, all right? Here's the first one, pretty simple. We need to trust God for the growth of the seed, all right? We need to trust God for the growth of the seed. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3, 5, and 9, "What after all is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." Do you see it? A couple weeks ago we saw it in the story. You're going to see it everywhere in life. There are always those three parts. Is that right? Doesn't matter what you're doing, what ministry you have. Always look for these three parts in your life. There's God's part, there's my part, and there's other people's part. That's how the ministry is. Do you see it in the account? Here Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, God caused the increase." Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm out ministering and I'm sowing my seed and I'm watering my seed, I have a tendency to focus on the growth. Do you? I focus on the effect. And sometimes I focus so much on it, I forget about the other. See, it's not my part. The effect of planting and watering is not my part. Parents, you need to get a hold of this with your children. You are responsible to plant and water in their lives. And let me just say, we are not the parents in this church. We're not wanting to be the parents. We don't want to take your place. We're here to come alongside and to assist and help. Deuteronomy makes it very clear. I don't have it on a slide, but this is the Shema that Moses spoke to the children of Israel as they were getting ready to go into the promised land. Listen what he said. He's talking to families. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I command you, you will teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall even write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Help me out here, parents. There was no mention in there about the church. Didn't exist yet. Where does the responsibility lie? It lies at home, doesn't it? It's the home. So oftentimes people will blame the church for things that are not happening at home. Home is the foundation. Home is where it really happens. That's where God's called us. And we're not wanting to take your place. We're wanting to come alongside of the home, and we're wanting to assist and help and encourage. Amen? That's what we're doing. That's your part. Now, there's grandparents here. Any grandparents? How many of you love your grandchildren? I love my grandchildren, don't you? I just love them. We have a part to play, different than the parents. I was talking to my daughter the other day. I don't want to be the parent. I want to be the grandparent. That's my part now. That's what I do. You heard the story of the guy who got on a train one day and he went row by row and he said, "Are you a grandparent?" "Yes." He said, "Well, I'm not sitting by you." Went to the next row. "Are you a grandparent?" "Well, yes, I am. I don't want to sit by you." And he went row by row by row until finally he got to a row. "Are you a grandparent?" "No, I'm not." He said, "Good, I want to sit by you." He sat down, took out his wallet. He said, "I'd like to show you some pictures of my grandkids," right? That's right. He didn't want any competition, did he? That's right, because you know how grandparents are. "Oh, let me show you a picture." See, grandparents, we have a role, don't we? Volunteers, teachers, ministry in the church. We all have a part to play. And we're coming around the family. That's what we want to do. And we want to assist and be an encouragement and add to what you are already doing. Everybody needs to know their part. God will do his part. Don't worry about the effect. You be faithful in planting and watering. My mom said, and I hope someday you'll get to meet her, but my mom said the more she prayed, the worse things got in my life. She was just praying I would survive. She couldn't even imagine what was going to happen. See, because you don't know the potential of the seed until you plant it and water it. Some seeds take longer than others. Number two, write this down. We got to remember the promise. Always remember the promise if we're going to be ministering to our children. On Pentecost, Peter stood up and declared, "Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Here's the cool part. "For this promise is for you and your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord your God will call." I want you to know God is in the children. And the promise is not just for us adults, it's for our children as well. If you don't understand that, it's going to affect the way you relate to children. When I look at children, I love, did you like that today? I mean, wasn't that cute? You know, hey, he's part of the promise. He's part of the promise. And whenever you look at a child, hey, the promise is for you. The promise is for you as well as for me. Here's number three. When you connect with children, you connect with Christ. Listen, children are the door to greatness. In Mark 9, Jesus is getting ready to speak some important words. But you have to understand, the disciples just came into Capernaum and they just had this little discussion on the road. Actually, the disciples were arguing among themselves. In fact, they argued about this a lot. Who will be the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Jesus knew that was the argument. And he asked them, you were arguing on the road. What was it you were arguing about? And the scripture says the disciples got real quiet. They kind of put their head down. They were ashamed because they'd been having that conversation again. You ever had that conversation about greatness? Anybody here ever wanted to be great? Hey, listen, it's okay. Have you ever dreamed about it? Have you ever dreamed? I know you have. Have you ever dreamed about, I was watching a basketball game this week, you know, March Madness is going on, and there was a team, they were just a few points behind, and a guy shot the basket with seconds to go, and they won the game. The crowd goes crazy, everybody rushes onto the floor, they pick this guy up and carry him on their shoulders. How many have ever dreamed about that being you? Come on, you know you have, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Have you ever dreamed about writing a novel and you're at the bookstore and everybody's lining up to get your autograph? Yeah. Hey, we've all had these fantasies about being great. Jesus is about ready to tell us how you can do it. Here's how you're going to become great. He takes the disciples and he sits down and Jesus calls the 12. He says, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. He knew what they were talking about. He said, I'm going to show you how to be great. He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Short time later, and this is just amazing to me, the scripture says they crossed over the Jordan. And Jesus gets involved in this big discussion with the Pharisees about divorce. Do we still have that discussion going on today? We do. They're debating the law. They're trying to, what is it? They want to understand it. They're even trying to trick Jesus. And Jesus is engaging them on this high level of discussion. And what happens? He has another encounter with children. In Mark 10, just the chapter over, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms and he placed his hands on them and he blessed them. Now, seems strange to me, I don't know about you, but this lesson kept repeating itself for the disciples. They didn't get it the first time, and here Jesus begins to teach them again, and he draws another child into center stage to say something very important to the disciples. And what do? Instead of taking an opportunity for greatness, instead of getting down on one knee and looking into the eyes of the children and engaging them on a personal spiritual level, instead of taking their hands and saying, "Hey, let me be the first to introduce you to Jesus. Hey, you're going to love Jesus. Come on over here. I want you to meet him." Instead of doing that, what do? They rebuke the crowd. "No, keep the children away." Now, we think, man, that's crazy. Why would they ever do that? Well, I just wonder what you would have done. Seriously, what would you have done? I mean, think about it for a minute. Jesus is here having a high-level discussion. They're debating the scriptures. They're looking at the law. I mean, this is no time for children. Keep the children away. They're protecting Jesus. It would have been maybe a logical thing to do, wouldn't it? But when Jesus saw it and overheard it, he became indignant. He was angry about it. He was upset about it. He said, no. Didn't you guys just remember what we did over here on the other side of the Jordan? Let's do it again and see if you can capture the lesson. And he brings the children to them. Wow, they missed the opportunity of greatness. What does Jesus do? He blesses the children. Hey, number four, he's teaching us that we are to receive, to bless, and to release our children. We are to receive, to bless, and release our children. I want to tell you a story real quick. When Connie and I first left the Salvation Army, and there were all kinds of issues that surrounded that, we were having doctrinal issues. Should you water baptize? Should you have communion? What about the gifts? We were having all these things. And the real problem was not that debate. It was our hearts. See, I was so arrogant and full of pride. I was broken. I was a preacher who was so full of himself that it was hard for God to use me in the kingdom. But I didn't see it at the time, because bless God, I was right and they were wrong. But I got so caught up in the debate and the discussion, I forgot about the relationships. I forgot about humility. Grace was far from our discussion. There was no grace. Have you ever had a conversation like that? Oh, there's a lot of truth going on, but there's no grace. No grace. The Bible tells us to speak the truth in love, right? That's full of grace. That was me. I was just so full, and I didn't know it. I was broke. I didn't know it. And so we left, and we went to the Wichita Christian Center. And we went in there, and I got to be honest with you. I said, "Oh, man, here we are. They're so lucky to have us. Man, once they figure out the potential here, it's going to be incredible, right?" Crickets. It was just crickets. I said, "Wait a minute. What are we doing, honey? We're wasting our life here." Got a call one day from Ray Green. Who knows Ray Green? You know Ray? God love him. "Hey, Joe, I have a ministry for you." I said, "Really? Okay." I thought to myself, it's about time. It's about time. And so I went home. I said, "Honey, I'm going to meet with Ray at the church. They got a ministry. It's getting ready to happen. Glory to God." So I went into Ray's office. I'll never forget the conversation. He said, "Joe, we've been praying a lot, and we see your zeal, and we love your... we'd like for you to minister to children." And I tried not to show my disappointment, but I was... You got to be kidding me. You know, this is Joe here. Joe, you know, hey, there's so much we could be doing. Children? See, I was just like the disciples. Haven't got time for that. More important things to do. I went home hoping my wife would agree with me. And I said, "Baby, you're not going to believe this. We got our ministry." "What is it?" "They want us to minister to children." She said, let's do it. I said, really? Yeah, let's do it. And so we did. And we started ministering to kids. We had the most awesome time. Little did I know that God was going to use these children to change my life. God, because there were some things God had to fix in me. And I'll bet you there's people here today, you need the same fix. It's so often we're so caught up in this, in ourselves, that God is trying to get through to us with a very important message. And I remembered as we ministered to these children, God just began to speak to us, began to soften our hearts. We began to learn from these kids. We began to realize the capacity that they had for ministry and how God felt about them. I just wonder, when you pass a child in the hallway here at Faith Community, do you talk to them? Do you ever get on one knee and say, hey, what's your name? Do you ever pray with them? Here's one. Have you ever asked them to pray with you? Do you know kids are awesome? They have such capacity. Their faith level is so cool. We remember we began to see the potential in these children. They just began to minister to us, and God began to really change our hearts and bring some high level of grace into our lives. I mean, it was a life-changing time for us. And we began to put some vans together of children. We called them mobile prayer vans. And they were full of kids. And we would go out and into people's homes, and we just take kids with us. And they would pray for the sick. They'd pray for people who needed prayer. And word got out, and pretty soon people started calling, hey, bring one of them prayer vans over to my house. You know, and so it started, and it was amazing to watch these little children. We gave them some basic instructions, because, again, just water the seed a little bit. That's all you have to do, and then let it go. And we released those children to minister. We never told them what to pray. And I'll never forget the time we went to a lady's house in Park City, and she was a heavy smoker, and she was on oxygen and had lung problems, you know, trying to, wow, man, this doesn't make sense. And I'm sitting there as an adult going, oh, man. And so I said, well, who wants to pray? And we never hand-selected. We waited. And a hand would go up, and I remember this little boy said, I'll pray. And so we all got around. We taught him to lay hands on people, anoint them with oil. And this was this little boy's prayer. Lord, would you help sister so-and-so? Because she's killing herself. She's killing herself. And I was like, so sorry. Don't mean to offend. A lady called us that week. She said, you know what? God spoke to me. He told me I was killing myself. See, kids don't know how to flower it up. They just do it. Rob Parker was here a couple weeks ago, right? We went to their house once. His mom was sick. Linda Parker. She couldn't hardly walk. And we took the prayer caravan over there with the kids. She said, bring that prayer van over here. So we went over there. We had about 8, 9 little kids, you know, and we went in there and told the kids what was wrong with her. And so they all gathered around. I said, who'd like to pray? This little girl raises her hand. I'll pray. It's okay. She lays her hands on Linda, and this was her prayer. Lord Jesus. See, you think you got to be fancy praying. God's looking for what? Faith. She said, Lord, would you bless Linda and help her so she can go outside and play? Got done praying. That next Sunday, Linda came to church, and I'll never forget her testimony. She said, I want you to know that prayer van came by my house this week, and they prayed for me. I could hardly walk. And they prayed that I could go outside and play. And I want you to know, this Saturday, I got out in my yard and worked in my garden, and I thought about that prayer. God allowed me to go outside and play. In my garden. I'm telling you, kids have a potential. You don't realize it. Ah, let's get them out. They're underfoot. We don't want them around. We don't want them in worship. You know, they'll be a distraction to us. You know, listen, those are seeds of potential that we are responsible to come alongside and to water them. I don't know what God's going to do. Listen, these seeds will affect generations you'll never see. You'll meet these people later on in life, and you'll be amazed at what God did. You might look at that kid and say, man, he's nothing but trouble. That kid, he won't even behave. Man, he's just, oh, man, he's so disruptive. But what is the potential of that seed? What's going to happen? We don't know. We just don't know. We were at Central Community Church over on Maple Street, right across from that church. Do you know what's over there? There's a landscaping company. Have you seen it? We were in there one day, and this lady came up. She was the owner of the company. Her name was Alana. And she goes, "Oh, you're Lieutenant Mrs. Voss from the Salvation Army, aren't you? I was a little girl in your Sunday school. I just want you to know, we attend Bethel Assembly of God, have a family, and we just remember those years. And we were reminiscing. Yeah, we remember those kids. Whoa, they were a piece of work, weren't they? Look what God has done. We were at Branson. Some of you heard the story. We were in an automobile accident in Branson, Missouri one year. It was a pretty serious accident, and we got hit head on. And we were in the car, you know, blood on our faces, and we couldn't get out of the car. And this lady comes up and knocks on the window, and we roll the window down. She says, "I'm a nurse, and I'm going to stay here with you till the ambulance comes." We said, "Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you." And she starts handing gauze through the window. And then all of a sudden, she steps back. She goes, "Well, you're Joe and Connie Voss, aren't you?" I said, "Well, who are you?" She said, "I was a little girl in your Sunday school." I said, "Listen, folks, I'm telling you, these little seedlings, you just plant and water. That's all you do. You don't know what's going to happen." We were at a reception the other day, and a young lady came up to us by the name of Jewel. And she says, and I hate this when they do that, says, "You probably don't remember me, do you?" And I go, "Oh, how many of you hate that? I just hate that. Oh, because I know I'm supposed to know you. I'm sorry." She goes, "You used to come in a van and pick us up for Sunday school. And now this is my husband. We're youth pastors over here. I just want you to know what that meant to us." Then one day, because some stories are sad, young lady went to IHOP. Kate was in town. Went and had dinner, and she said, "I got something to tell you guys." She just started crying. She said, "When I was a little girl, your little blue van used to drive all the way out in the country to pick us up." She said, "You have no idea what that meant to us. Because my sisters and I, we were being abused on a weekly basis. And you were our oasis. And when that van came down the road, it meant for a short time, we would be free." Connie and I are sitting there going, "Why didn't you tell us? I don't understand all that." But she told this story. She said, "There was a Sunday when you called and canceled. You don't know how that hurt us. We cried and cried. Because you were the lifesaver for us. Listen, sometimes you're ministering to children, you don't know what's going on in their lives. You just plant and water. You just show up. You don't know what God's going to do." That young lady is now the wife of a Salvation Army officer in Colorado. They're ministering, have been ministering for years. We never knew that. We never knew that. You don't know. There's so much you don't know. You just show up and you do it. Amen? The greatest lesson I learned is the fifth lesson that I want to leave with you today. And that is that children hold the key to kingdom living. Matthew 18, here we go again. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Gee, they keep having this conversation. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the most important? And Jesus called a little child to him. You think they'd have got it by now. Uh-oh, here comes that child lesson again, right? "Set him in the midst of them and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." Are these disciples just slow learners? Or are they just like us? Jesus is trying to tell them something. He's trying to tell us something. It is the key to kingdom living. And we find it in our children. And when you look at them, God has something to say to us that is very powerful. God is calling us not to be childish, but to be childlike. But what's happened is we've gotten older now, and we've grown away from it. God is calling us back to something very simple, and it unlocks the kingdom for us. It's what was broken in me so many years ago, and when I was called alongside these children to minister to them, God showed me, Joe, here's the key to the kingdom. This is, I want you to get a hold of these, what these children have. There's something here that children have that you need if you're going to be able to receive the fullness of the kingdom in your life. What is it that's childlike that we need? Well, we talked about their faith, right? Children look at things in fresh new ways. Is that right? They look at things. You have analyzed it to death. Children don't do that. They just look at it. They receive it. They take it at face value. Is that right? I love the way children look at things in a fresh new way. We're so used to looking at it, we can't do that. I remember my wife was sitting around a coffee table in St. Louis with some of our nieces, and they were young, and she was talking about her years on the farm and how they used to butcher chickens. Anybody ever done that? Chopped the head off, and her job was to hang on to that chicken. Why'd you do that? So it didn't bruise the meat, right? Because that old chicken would flop around. I love my niece. She's sitting there listening intently to the story. I love the way kids look at stuff. She goes, well, she said, why didn't you just cut their feet off first? I looked at my wife. Yeah, why not? That makes sense to me. You wouldn't have to hang on to them. They'll just be there, right? Kids just have a way of looking at things, don't they? Listen, what is it that kids have? What is it? Here it is. It's just so simple. It's so simple. In fact, you need to grow up and get back to this. To become childlike is to be able to have a spirit of dependence. Children know, they know that they're little. Is that right? They know they're little. They know. They need big people. See, sometimes we grow up and we get older and we lose that dependence. God's calling us back to a place of dependency in Him and a place of trust. That young lady there with the blonde hair, would you come up here, sweetheart? What's her name? Yeah, come on up here. You can come too. Yeah, sure. What's your name, sweetheart? What is it? Mackenzie? Come here, Mackenzie. I want you to help me do something. I want you to step right over here. I want you to jump up on this chair. Would you do that? Can you stand on? I know we're not supposed to stand on the furniture, but go ahead. You can stand on the chair. Can you get up there? Okay. A little taller than I thought. But hey, listen, on the count of three, I want you to jump into my arms. Do you think you can do that? Are you ready? One, two, three, jump. Oh, boy. Ooh, did she do a good job, huh? I just got a question to ask you. How'd you know I'd catch you? Oh, really? Children trust on a level that we need to get back in our own lives. Is that true? It is the keys to the kingdom. To have dependence and trust, to be childlike. Children are little and they know it, and they know how dependent they are on others. They don't want to be, they get afraid. What happens to us is we start growing in the Lord, and then we lose that. And pretty soon we start thinking we're pretty hot stuff, and we can do this. It's no big deal. I'm strong. We become independent. God is, see, you begin, when you're a child, you're dependently dependent. And then you become independently dependent. That's where we are with God. He gives you independence, but you will always be dependent. When you lose your dependence on God, that's when things really start getting off track. And God's calling us back, and that's what He was trying to tell the disciples that day. Not once, not twice, but three times. Listen, fellas, look at these children. This is how you're going to receive the kingdom. I want you to depend on me. I want you to trust me. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to call our children forward now. My wife, I found this hard to believe, but she went to Goodwill the other day. Look what she got for $5. Is that beautiful? A prayer shawl. How'd you like to find that for $5, huh? She said, brought that home. I said, wow, baby, go back and look some more. See what you can find. But we're going to use this today to cover our children. We want to pray a blessing over our children. So I'd like for you to, and parents, you can come with your children if you'd like, and just come stand right here, and we're going to bless our kids today before we leave. just come stand right over here. And Tony, I'm going to use you because you're pretty tall. If you could come. And Mike, would you come, brother? I'm going to use you here in a moment. We want to read again the Shema as we read earlier. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I commanded you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of the house and on your gates. Mike, would you come stand on one end? Could we kind of bunch together? And we're going to cover you underneath. Just step right over here. We're going to put you underneath. Grab both corners. Mike, over here. Would you stand with me, church? And we're going to pray a blessing over our children. And I want to prepare you for something, and that is that more are coming. More are coming, and God wants to prepare us to minister to them. Amen. And we'll begin by watering this seed today and these parents. Father, we lift up these families to you and these lives that, Lord, are underneath this prayer shawl. It's a piece of cloth, but it represents your presence over us. And Father, we pray the Shema over these families, that when they rise up, when they lie down, when they go on their way, that this blessing will go before them, and these children will be watered and planted in your kingdom for your glory. We don't know what the future holds, but we are expecting great things. And we thank you for this church. We thank you they love children. Lord, I pray you'd raise us up to be able to minister to your glory in each of these lives. Let the potential be released for your glory in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen, 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 amen. Praise you, Lord. You can be seated. Thank you. Put your hands together. Amen. Stand with me, church. We're going to dismiss you here. You sat down too soon, didn't you? Amen.
This is really awesome what happened here just a moment ago. A number of years ago, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what did you mean when you said, be as a little child? And unless you are as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. He gave me four words that are really beautiful. I really love them. See, Lord, just cause their hearts to really absorb this and take this in, Lord. It's TLLF, trusting, loving, lowly, forgiving. Let me say it again. Trusting, loving, lowly, forgiving. And think about children. Aren't they so forgiving? They're so ready to receive you back. They're always just never proud and arrogant, really. And they're so trusting. I remember my sister, just a quick story here. She told me when I was a little boy, that she was going to go to the moon the next day. And I went over to the neighbor's house, and I told her, I believed her. I just believed her. Believe it or not, I believed her. And I told my neighbors, I said, my sister's going to go to the moon tomorrow. And they laughed and laughed and laughed at me. But that's the trust that God is looking for in our hearts with Him, to believe what He says.
Amen. Good. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Well, as we dismiss our service today, we want to give an invitation to you. If you're here today, you need somebody to pray for you. Say, I don't want to do that. What would a child do? They'd just come, wouldn't they? If you told them, hey, listen, if you come forward, we'll lay hands and pray for you and God will touch you. What would a child do? Hey, I'm all over that, right? But see, we're grown up now. We're mature, and so we don't want to do those. God's calling you back to a childlikeness of faith and trust in Him. Lowly, yes. Humble, yes. It brings His grace. It is the key to kingdom living. I encourage you to come back to that place. Hey, you have knowledge. You have all these wonderful things God's given to you. But if you lose this, none of that will matter. We need to come back to this place. So I invite you, before you're going to be dismissed here, we're going to stay and pray. If you need healing in your body, come. We'll pray for you in childlike faith. We're just going to believe God. We're just going to believe God. We're just going to do it. We're going to jump off that chair because we know God's going to catch us. We don't have any reason to doubt that, do we? If you're here and you need encouragement, or you just need to come back to that place of childlike faith, we'll stay here. We want to minister to you this morning. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Father, I pray over this congregation that you would bring their hearts back to you in that childlike way to find the kingdom as you created it for us. Father, I pray you would open our hearts to receive everything you have for us. Lord, to unlock the potential of the seed even in our own hearts, that we'd be faithful in watering and planting, and you will bring the increase. Lord, we forgive us for our pride and our arrogance. Lord, show us the way to greatness as we come as children into your kingdom. We love you for this simple truth. Don't let us forget it. Keep it ever before us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you as you go. Go in the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for coming. We love you. Thanks.